We're continuing our studies in the book of Romans. And I want to read Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. And not really focus on any particular verse this morning, but on the thought and the concept of death, what it means. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 beginning. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. I want to try to help us to understand what the death means to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and to those of us who have been called into His kingdom in glory. The word death in these verses have a definite article V before them, and so it's speaking of a particular death. It's something that you and I can experience, even though we have been saved. Now, this death does not mean that we will spend eternity in the lake of fire. This death is not equal to those of us being dead in trespasses and sins. Every person who's ever been born into this world is born in sin and dead in their trespasses and sins. Now, obviously, the Lord takes care of the aborted child and the children that have no concept of sin or salvation. You know what? I don't have to worry about that. The Lord will have to worry about that. Because I don't know how to present the truth to a fetus. So the Lord takes care of them. But the point is this. You and I who are adults, you and I who are children, are old enough to understand the language, can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the salvation that we experience when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is referred to as the common salvation. It's a salvation that is common in the whole family of God. Everyone who is in the family has had this salvation. In Jude 1:3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." So the common salvation is referred to here, and it's not a reference to, or is a reference to being saved, and Jude was moved by God to write about contending for the faith, about pleasing God. Now the common salvation is referred to, I believe, in Acts 16:30 and 31. This has to do with the Philippian jailer. Philippian jailer was a Roman guard. He was in the army, Roman army. This man did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This God did not know Jesus Christ, his Savior. But he knew he was lost. He knew he needed a Savior. And he knew who had what he wanted. And that was Paul and Silas. Anybody who could sing in a Roman prison had what he wanted. You know, Roman prisons were not five-star hotels or motels. Not even a one-star. In fact, the stars went out when you went into a jail, you know, into a prison. It was dark, dingy. In Acts 16:30, it says, And he brought them out, the Philippian jailer brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, that is, Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house." And this word believe is in the aorist tense. It's in the active voice and it's imperative. It's a command. And if the Philippian jailer would believe aorist, he would be instantly born into the family of God. The active voice tells us that the Philippian jailer had to do the action of the verb. If you want to be saved, you have to do the believing. I can't do it for you. But one of the things that I have found in my experience with human people, with the human race, is if a person doesn't know he's lost, it's very hard to show them how to be saved. If you don't know you're lost, that's like me flagging down a guy driving down the street out here and telling him to make a right-hand turn down there on Johnson Street. He'd probably use a few expletives and scratch his head and drive off, screeching the tires that I interfered with his life. People who know they need a Savior, it's easy to lead them to the Lord, and that's what Paul and Silas did. Philippian jailer was saved, the common salvation, and he believed aorist once. Dot. Now, one of the things that we need to comprehend is this, that everlasting life is not salvation. I have, when I grew up as a boy and as an adult, I associated everlasting life with salvation, being saved. Well, I found out some things when I began to read, and I see that you can work for eternal life. Or you can work for age-lasting life. And we're going to see some verses that deal with that. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, it says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds or works? To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek," present tense, they are seeking "for honor," or for glory and honor and incorruption, would be a better translation of the word immortality. It's incorruption. They will have eternal life, or life for the age. So here we see that life for the age is worked for. It's a reward. The Philippian jailer did nothing to be saved. But when it comes to life for the coming age, because the word eternal comes from the Greek word meaning age, you work for it. It's a reward. And you're seeking it all the time. It's not an event. The Philippian jailer was saved, event. This is seeking all the time. We're seeking all the time for honor and glory and incorruption. Where? In the coming kingdom. Obviously, I don't want any glory now, and I don't need any honor now, and I'm sure not going to be incorrupt now. Still getting a few wrinkles. Anyway, but I'm anticipating life for the coming age, for the coming kingdom. But there is a warning here. "But unto them that are contentious," or party spirit, "and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness," what is their portion? Indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Now, he's not talking to lost people here. He's talking to saved people. The context is saved. The context is reward for service or what you do. If I'm living for the Lord, seeking for life for the age, I'm going to behave myself. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to be seeking that life for the age. I'm not going to be contentious. I'm not going to be disobedient. And one of the incentives is I don't want to experience tribulation, anguish, indignation, and wrath. I want the reward of honor and glory in His coming kingdom. Now, another passage we can look at and need to look at is Galatians chapter 6. I want to show you that eternal life is not salvation, because you don't work to get saved. you walk a worthy walk to enjoy honor and glory and rewards in His coming kingdom. Okay? Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption or ruin. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting or life age lasting. You reap life for the age. It's based upon your sowing. If you sow to the things of the flesh, you're going to be ruined. You're going to reap corruption. I'm seeking incorruption. That's even why I wanted to show you that immortality isn't a very good translation of that word. It's the same word, except this one here doesn't have the un in front of it in the Greek. Okay? So, now, in verse 9, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap. Reap what? Everlasting life or life for the kingdom age. If what? We don't faint. Did Esau faint? Yes, he fainted. And because Esau fainted, he lost his birthright. He didn't lose his place in the family. He still was the firstborn son. He just didn't get firstborn privileges. He got secondborn privileges, which was servitude. He was to serve Jacob. And he was to be poorer than Jacob as well, and he was. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, we've been looking at the common salvation and associating it with life for the age. I'm giving you some background material, okay, is basically what I'm doing. Because we have the common salvation, and I want to show you the so great salvation. The so great salvation has to do with life for the age, ruling and reigning in His coming kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, it says, for if the word spoken by angels or messengers was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In other words, what the Old Testament prophet said about disobedience in the Old Testament, did what the consequences come to pass? Absolutely they came to pass. Israel sinned, what happened? They went into dispersion. And they're still in dispersion today. And so, what was spoken in the Old Testament about rebellion against God and the consequences came to pass? And those were written for our learning. What kind of learning do we need to have? What came to pass in the Old Testament because of sin will also come to pass in our own life because of sin and rebellion against God. Now, how shall we escape a just reward of judgment? That's really what he is saying. How shall we escape a just reward of judgment if we neglect so great salvation? Now, what is the so great salvation referred to? Well, this so great salvation was first, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. What was the message Jesus first used or preached when He came? Well, Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God is the same thing as the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the rule of the heavens over the earth, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, what is interesting here is this. The word repent is a command. It's imperative. But it's in the present tense, and it's in the active voice. Jesus is telling those to whom He is speaking to continually change your life. You start drifting away in sin, get back in line. Confess it. Repent of it. It's a continuing process. It's not an event. It's an active voice, meaning the person or the individual, you and I, are the ones that can only do that. God cannot repent for us. Jesus could not repent for them. Now, not only were they to repent, present tense, but they were to be believing. Present active, and this is also an imperative. And believing what? Believing the message of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You believe the message of the kingdom of heaven, you know what? It's going to change your life. It's going to give you something to live for. And that's something that we can live for is honoring glory. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I want to hear. And I hope you want that same thing. And you know what? I need to continue to believe that's true. And I will, if I will change my life and live by faith, because without faith it is impossible to please Him. If I please Him, I'm going to hear that, well done. So I need to continually believe that message. Now, where is this salvation? This so great salvation? I believe this great, so great salvation is in the body of Christ. I believe when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I am brought into the family of God. I am brought into the body of Christ. I'm part of the body. Now, in 2 Timothy 2:10, it says, Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory. There's a salvation known as the common salvation that puts us in Christ. There's a salvation in Christ that has to do with glory for the coming age. That's the so great salvation that we should desire and seek for. And we will be rewarded that blessing when we stand at the judgment seat. Now, we need to be warned about the consequences of not, or the consequences of becoming weary in well-doing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, Paul, speaking to those at Corinth, he says, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of the life. Present active is actually a present active infinitive. The life. I don't think this is physical life. I think this is actually, Paul was becoming weary in well-doing. And he was pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that he despaired of possibly losing life for the coming age. I think this is what he is saying. I don't think he is worried about being killed or dying, because Paul had already said, absent from the body, and emphatically, present with the Lord. Now, verse 9, Paul says, but we had the judicial sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, we can be judged, qualified to lose our life for the coming age. But we had the judicial sentence of the death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. I like that. Our God has the power to raise the dead. You know what? That not only has to do with the resurrection, but that has to do with any problems that you have. You drop over with a heart attack, God can raise you up right then. He can take care of any of your need. Any time you're pressed out of measure in your walk with Him, He is there to supply the need. He has that power. Now, we're talking about the death that Paul was dealing with in his life at this particular time. And in verse 10 he says, who delivered us from so great a death? And doth deliver, present middle, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver, future middle. That is, for Himself. The middle voice means for Himself. Now the point I want you to get here is this. We've talked about the common salvation. We've talked about the so great salvation. But did you know that there is a so great death? The contrast is this. The so great salvation has to do with honor and glory in His coming kingdom. The so great a death has to do with loss of all of that honor and glory in His coming kingdom. And we can lose it if we grow weary in well-doing, being faithful to Him. Because we always carry that sentence of death with us. We can perish. We can lose that life. And we need to continually believe that He delivered us from so great a death. It's not permanent, because He doth yet deliver us, present middle. And He will yet, future. We trust Him to do that. He is delivering me now. He delivered me before. He is delivering me now. And He will deliver me into a place of honor and glory in His coming kingdom from this death. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, we see something interesting about age-lasting life and also the death. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from the death into the life. The word passed carries the meaning of move. We've moved from one place to another. The word death is a noun. The word life is a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. It also has to do with a concept as well, or principle. But the word pass is an interesting word. It comes from a word that we get the word feet from. Podiatrist, and it comes with feet. In other words, it has to do with moving. That's the point. That's the point is being made here. We have moved from the death unto the life. How do we know that? Because we love the brethren. Now, when I associate loving the brethren, I'm not talking about loving every child of God. Loving the brethren is loving those who are seeking to do the will of the Father. There's a lot of God's children that are not seeking to do the will of the Father because they're not even trying to find out what the will of the Father is, because they're not reading their Bible, they're not studying their Bible. And so therefore, they have no interest in doing the will of the Father, and they will not enter the kingdom. So, loving the brethren is associating those that are outcast. Did you know that was Paul's problem? Paul was preaching the Word of God, which has to do with the kingdom of heaven, and it caused him trouble. And if you love the brethren, you're identifying yourself with hosts, with whom? With the sheep. With those that are trying to please Him. And you're going to minister to them, and you're going to be identified with them, and you're going to smell like them, and you're going to walk like them, and you're going to talk like them. I'm just being a little corny about smelling like them, because sheep do smell. Anyway, the point is this. When we are in company of brethren and we love them, we are an outcast because of many things, and we won't go into that. Now, let's continue on here. We have passed from the death unto the life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in the death. If you don't love the brethren, you're in death. John, this word past or moving is also in John 5:24. We need this to help us to get this together. Jesus said, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, present active, you're listening all the time and believing on him that sent me. Who is that? The Father. You're believing the Father. What the Father said about the Son And we need to be believing the Father. And it says, hath everlasting life. Well, I don't have the time, or we didn't have the space in the notes to put this. We don't actually have life of the age yet. We're waiting for that. That'll come in the age to come. But so this word hath is a present active of echo, and it can be translated esteem. If I esteem life for the age, I'm going to be faithful in hearing the word, and I'm going to be faithful in believing what he says. Why? Because I esteem life for the age. And shall not come into condemnation. That is, to judgment. If I'm faithful, I will not be judged harshly like those who are disobedient and rebel, that we read about in Romans chapter 2. But is past perfect active. In other words, I passed already in the past, and it continues till today. I am not going to be in the death, but I'm going to have life for the coming age. Now, what does it mean about being condemned? Well, I want to read John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. You know what the word believeth is? It's in the present tense. You believe in the present tense, you're not going to be judged. You're not going to be judged. But he that believeth not, present tense, is condemned already. If I don't believe in the present tense, you know where I'm still at? I'm still in Thanatos. I'm still in the state of losing honor and glory in the coming kingdom. I'm judged already. My future is settled. That's the reason why it's so important for me to repent all the time and to believe all the time. What? The message of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. If I don't, I'm judged already. Don't have to wait for the judgment seat of Christ. It's done. Done deal. So, then I'm going to pick up on verse 15 of John 1:3. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You hate a brother? You hate someone who loves kingdom truth? You're a murderer, and your destiny is sealed. You're not moved out of the death, nor moved into the life. Now, the kingdom is not guaranteed. To rule and reign is not a guarantee, not a given. 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Why? Because it's not. It's not sure. Salvation, sure. You trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's not a thing in the world that can change that. But you can lose your inheritance. You can lose your reward. And so therefore, if we make our calling and election sure, we will not fall out of honor and glory with the Lord. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the age-lasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what I want. I want to make my calling and election sure. I'm going to repent all the time. I'm going to believe all the time. And I'm going to add to my faith virtue and knowledge and so forth. There's a whole list of things to do in this chapter in 2 Peter. Now let me just point out to us that when we're talking about age-lasting life, we're talking about our inheritance. We're talking about an inheritance. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom which is prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I'm anticipating an inheritance. I'm anticipating reward in his coming kingdom. In Luke 12:13 it says, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. Inheritance is a family matter. That's what I want to show you. Inheritance is a family matter. And rest assured in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, that if you live in sin, you will not receive an inheritance. Let's read it. Know ye not that the unrighteous or the unjust shall inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice that the word shall inherit the kingdom of God or not inherit the kingdom of God is said twice. You know what? He wanted to make sure that you understood that perfectly. There's no mistake. It'll cost you to live like this. And it'll cost you like it cost Esau. Esau sought his inheritance with what? Tears. He wept because he did not get the inheritance that was due him because of his lifestyle. Now, age-lasting life is inherited. Matthew chapter 19, verses 28 through 29. And Jesus said unto them, that is the apostles, verily I say unto you, that he which hath followed me in the regeneration. Now this word follow is aorist. Now that means not just one step. That's not the dot. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Aorist is an event. Following the Lord is not a one-step event. Following the Lord is an event that lasts a whole lifetime. You're faithful in following me your whole life. He says, in the regeneration, that is, in the kingdom of heaven, when I establish my kingdom, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of you which forsaketh houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit life for the age. That's a reward. It's an inheritance. And it costs you to have it. It costs your friends. It costs your family sometimes. But I'd rather have 100-fold in the coming kingdom than a loaf of bread and a bottle of water now. That doesn't really apply, but you know what? When we sell our birthright for one bowl of chili, what a pathetic price we have paid. I like what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said one time. We sacrifice our future on the altar of the immediate. May God help us not to do that. May we esteem our future and live like we are looking forward to enjoying a blessing in His coming kingdom. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the thoughts of this message to each of our hearts. May it glorify You, Father, in the Son, and it may encourage all that have heard and will hear to be faithful to You in repenting and believing that one day we will stand in Your presence approved. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.